Our second scripture reading is from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, and is found on page 236 in the New Testament of your pew Bibles. I invite you again to hear the word of God. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So, back at the beginning of January, I was getting ready to go out to Pittsburgh for 2 weeks of doctoral classes, and I had it all planned out. I would leave worship here, leave right after it was over, and get there just in time for the kickoff of the Eagles playoff game on TV. So as I was standing at the door over here after worship greeting people, Liz Ward came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, there was a really bad accident on the turnpike this morning out around New Stand. It's about 35 miles outside of Pittsburgh, and it's still shut down. You might want to check that out before you leave." But in my infinite wisdom, I thought, that's 4 hours from here. And the accident happened at 3:30 this morning. Surely, by the time that I get there, it will all be cleared up and the turnpike will be open again. So as I got in my car to leave, I pulled up GPS on my phone, and it told me to go up towards State College instead of straight across on the turnpike. Well, I thought, that's going to add over an hour to my trip, and I won't make it there in time to see kickoff of the Eagles game. Besides, by the time I get out that way, the turnpike should be open again. So forget that. I'm going the way that I want to go. And everything was fine. I was making great time. Until I was around 3 hours in, this big electronic sign popped up along the side of the turnpike that said, "Turnpike closed, detour ahead." So I got off at the Breezewood exit, for those of you who know the turnpike, got off at Breezewood along with every other car on the road, and we creeped very slowly up to Highway 30. It took about 30 minutes to go 1 mile. But right when I got up there, ready to turn onto Highway 30, my GPS chimed in and said, "Hey, turn back around and go back to the turnpike." So I thought, oh, great, it must be open again. So I turn around and drive very slowly back to the turnpike because, again, there was so much traffic going that way too. And when I got to the Easy Pass station, there were some men standing on the side of the road wearing their orange vests talking to each of the cars ahead of me. And when I got up there, they told me, "No, it's not open yet. You need to turn around and go back the way that you just came from. Don't listen to your GPS. It's going to keep trying to tell you to go to the turnpike. Just turn it off. Follow these directions." And they handed me a slip of paper that had the route on it. So I turned around, and it took me 30 more minutes to go that mile that I had just come from. And after that, I can't even tell you what route I took. I just followed the directions that they gave me. All the way there, I had no idea where I was. It was getting dark by that point, and I'd never been on this road before, and my GPS was turned off. I had no idea if I was on the right path, if I was going the right way. I'm just trusting the directions that this man on the side of the road gave me. It took me 2 hours longer than it should have to get there, but eventually I made it there in time to see the second half of the Eagles game, which it turns out didn't really matter that much anyway. And the reason that I tell you this, that I was thinking about this week, is because I think that one of the central questions of these two scripture readings that we've heard today is, how do we know we're on the right path? When the world around us is dark and unfamiliar, and everyone else is telling us to go this way, how do we know we're on the right path? We usually think of the transfiguration as like this great, glorious moment where the lordship of Jesus Christ is revealed and the disciples finally see him for who he is and they understand it, that they get it. But look at what their response is. Jesus is transformed before them. Light starts radiating out of his face and his clothes. And then suddenly Moses and Elijah, who have been dead for hundreds of years, are standing there next to him, talking with him. A bright cloud covers them, and a voice booms out from the cloud, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And it says that the disciples fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. They were terrified. Right? This wasn't a great, glorious moment for them. It had to be incredibly confusing. They had to make sense out of what they had just experienced. And how do you do that? How do you make sense out of something like this? Well, one way is by talking about it. But as they're coming back down the mountain, Jesus says to them, "Do not tell anyone about what you have just seen until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead." So now they can't talk about it. But also, what does that mean? The Son of Man? And what is he talking about? Raised from the dead. How did Peter, James, and John make sense out of this? And know that they were on the right path, interpreting this experience and their faith correctly? Well, they do talk about it with each other. And they ask questions to Jesus. And what they do is, they turn back to Scripture. They talk about Elijah and try to figure out how this experience fits within that larger story in Scripture. So they interpret their experience through Scripture to make sure they're on the right path and understanding things correctly. And then we don't really hear anything else about this experience for the rest of the New Testament, until we get to Peter's letter. Somewhere around 40 years later, as Peter is nearing the end of his life, about to be killed by the Romans, he writes a letter to a group of Christians who are trying to figure out if they are on the right path. These people around them are challenging their faith, saying that it's all just a bunch of myths, just stories that the apostles have made up, and that Jesus is not coming back. And these Christians, they're hearing this and starting to say, what if they're right? Now, what we do know is that at that time, there was a group called the Epicureans that were very publicly skeptical of what they called the myths of the Christians. Epicurus was a Greek philosopher who lived about 300 years before Jesus. And what Epicurus taught and what the Epicureans believed was that the ultimate purpose of life, the sole intrinsic goal of life, was pleasure. Avoiding pain and fear and pursuing whatever gives your body and your mind pleasure. Epicureans believe that you should live in such a way as to derive the greatest amount of pleasure possible during your life, because there's nothing else after that. They rejected the notion of an afterlife. And while they believed in the existence of God, they said that God does not intervene in the affairs of the world. God just created everything and lets it go, but doesn't get involved. There's one Epicurean writing that sums it up this way. It says, "Don't fear God. Don't worry about death. What is good is easy to get. And what is terrible is easy to endure." So these Epicureans were challenging the Christians and saying, you really believe all this? You weren't even here to see it. It's been 40 years. If Jesus was coming back, surely he would have done so by now. And don't worry about the afterlife. That's just a scare tactic to control your behavior and keep you in line. Just go enjoy yourself and don't worry about all this other stuff. And these Christians start questioning, how do we know that we're on the right path? Believing the right thing, interpreting things correctly, living the right way when the world around us is telling us something different. So I want you to think for a minute about how familiar that sounds. You really believe all this? You weren't even here to see it. It's been 2,000 years. If Jesus was coming back, surely he would have done so by now. And don't worry about the afterlife. That's just a scare tactic to control your behavior and keep you in line. Just go enjoy yourself and don't worry about all this other stuff. How do we know that we are on the right path, believing the right thing, interpreting things correctly, living the right way, when the world around us is telling us something different? It's to these questions that Peter writes and says, you know what? I was there. I was an eyewitness to the majesty and glory of God in Jesus Christ. I was on that holy mountain. I saw the transfiguration. I heard that voice from heaven. I can confirm the prophetic message. Christ will come again. The glory that was seen on that holy mountain will be seen again in all of creation. That, he says, is the promise that Scripture makes to us. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the prophetic message. The prophets in Scripture talk about the glory of God coming to earth and redeeming all of creation. Peter says we got a glimpse of that in the Transfiguration. We have not yet received the fullness of it, but we will. It is coming. What Peter is doing here is exactly what he did with James and John when they were coming back down that mountain. He's saying, look back at Scripture. You want to know you're on the right path, understanding all of this correctly? Look back to Scripture. Be attentive to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's like when I was driving out to Pittsburgh, it was dark. I didn't know if I was going the right way. All I had to guide me was the written words that someone else had given to me. So I had to be attentive to that. And eventually, it got me where I was supposed to go. We live in dark, uncertain times right now. We don't always know if we're on the right path, doing the right thing, living the right way. And the world around us keeps saying, don't go that way, go this way. It's a lot easier. There's more pleasure, less pain. Don't fear God, don't worry about death. What is good is easy to get. And what is terrible, easy to endure. The world around us says, buy more stuff. Bigger house, a nicer car, better clothes, have another drink, get whatever you want, whenever you want it, however you can get it, you deserve it. But God says, this is my beloved Son. You want to know if you're on the right path? Listen to Him. Be attentive to Him because He is your lamp shining in the darkness. He is the morning star that will rise in your heart. And what Jesus tells us, what he shows us in his life, death, and resurrection, is that the path to glory is not about avoiding pain and suffering. Jesus never did that. The path to glory is about remaining faithful to God and to each other in the midst of pain and suffering. How do we know this? How do we listen to him today? By looking back to Scripture. By saying, this challenge that I'm facing, this temptation that I'm experiencing, this decision that I have to make, what did Jesus say about this? You want to know if you're on the right path? Look back at Scripture, at the people who have faithfully traveled that path before. This is why it is so important for us to be grounded in Scripture, not just here on Sunday mornings, but each day. And we might say, you know, I don't have time for that. I want to do that. I don't have time. But we have time to read newspapers. We have time to watch the news on TV. We have time to read our phones and check social media. We have time for the words of this world. But if we want to truly understand this world, we must make time for the words of God. And we might also say, well, you know, I try to do that, but it's hard. Like, I can't always understand what I'm reading. And the good news that Peter shares with us here is that these ancient words are not the only way that we listen to Jesus today. The Holy Spirit, the living, breathing presence of God with us today, speaks to us and guides us and teaches us and strengthens us in our faith and helps us understand Scripture. Peter says, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. You don't have to figure this out on your own. But men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. God has not left us alone to figure all of this out and to find our own way through life. We know Jesus and hear Jesus today through the power of the Holy Spirit and through one another. Through men and women moved by the Holy Spirit who speak from God. Just as Peter, James, and John had to make sense out of their experience together, we are called to walk with one another through life and help each other make sense out of life and faith and Scripture. You know, we say to one another, I think this is what Scripture is saying to me, and this is what God is calling me to do. And the community of faith around us says, yes, that sounds like the voice of God to me. Or, I'm not so sure. Maybe we need to look at this again. Question is whether we trust God and each other enough to do that. To share our struggles and our questions and what we are discerning God might be saying to us. You want to know if you're on the right path? Listen to Jesus. Look to Scripture. Look to the community of faith. And the Holy Spirit will speak through those voices to lead us in the way that God is calling us to go. Let us pray. Most holy God, we long to listen to you, to hear your voice in our lives, to behold your glory in this world. With the world around us pointing us in so many different directions, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the voices of those around us, through Scripture, that we might know you, know your love for us, and feel your presence with us. Guide us, Lord, on the path that you are calling us to follow by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we can seek the life that you are calling us to and glorify you in all that we do. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and give ourselves to you now and